from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm sorry for your losses. I mean, that's about all I can say to Pirate fans right now. My condolences. This is ridiculous. I mean, can't they lose a game? Well, they did the other night, 6-0, I guess. But even that one was ridiculous because of the warning track flooding and the fact that the Padres ace, you know, floats away on a raft and you still lose to the bullpen. And I know they have a good bullpen. But you don't lose 6-0, although they did lose 6-0. I guess what I'm saying is, can't they just lose 4-1 once in a while? You know, it has to be 9-8 after a 5-0 lead, or 9-8 after they're down 5-0, come back and start to lead 7-6 with McCutchen waving a towel on the top of the dugout, and then there's a torturous ending to that game. It's every time I turn around, it started with Skeens coming out for the ninth and everybody chanting MVP, 34,000 people, and they find a way to lose that one because they can't hit. Just daggers, just shots to the gut. It's like that meme or that GIF, Paul, where you have the karate guy and someone keeps kicking him right in the nuts like 1,000 times in a row. That's Pirate fans. You know the one I'm talking about, Sean?
Yeah, we all know the nut kicking meme you're talking about.
Yes, where it's
like a yes,
rapid fire kicks
have
to
you
the
used
groin.
That one,
I've
Paul?
Used that many times.
I was going to say you were on a Twitter rager last
night.
Yeah,
did you happen to see my?
No.
Once Colin Alderman started blowing up.
Yeah, that big surprise there.
I went on like about a 15 or 20 tweet. Marathon of finding plane crashes and train wrecks and car crashes and dumpster fires and, you know, buildings on fire, like 15 of them in a row.
I love the one of the flaming dumpster that's on its own, just a runaway flaming dumpster.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all. But the one of the guy getting kicked in the groin 1,000 times in a row.
That's hilarious, too.
I mean, honestly, I'm sorry for your losses. I really am, Pirate fans. It's just, I was going to say, I can't imagine. I kind of can't. I mean, you know, watching the Bills lose 4 straight Super Bowls wasn't really fun. But for a small stretch of like 3 weeks to have this many of these, Paul and I would like to provide for you a forum to unleash your feelings. And we'll do that as soon as we finish getting over the game from last night. And again, it comes at a very sensitive time because a lot of Pirate fans have begun to open their hearts again, only to see them get stomped on. Yet again, and I was wondering, you know, we brought up the phrase, 'tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. Would you rather just be a rock, an island, like the old Simon and Garfunkel song, and never feel
Paul,
anything?
Would you rather be a rock or be open and loving?
Some would say I'm both.
You can be both. Paul's both, open and loving and a rock. How about you? We'll get to the lines in a moment at 928-9370. But back to the game. Paul, there's 18 different things. I heard Wehner after the game. he obviously played Major League Baseball, saying it's a no-brainer to send McCutchen on contact in the 10th. Okay, maybe I'm naive. But as soon as that ball is, as soon as it's struck, you freeze everything. And to make another wildly out-of-date reference, the old show Bewitched, when she would freeze everything except for her, she could then walk around and make decisions.
Right.
And you asked everybody on Earth right then, percent chance that a Major League Baseball team throws out McCutchen at home. And I would say 99. It's a ball that's going right to the shortstop who's playing in. And all he has to do is make a simple throw or even a bad throw, because his catcher will have plenty of time to recover, and that's an out. Why are you run? Why is that? If that's a thing, why would you run automatically on contact there? Why?
Isn't that called a contact play?
I guess.
Yeah.
It's a stupid play.
I'm just saying. It's one of the baseball plays that drives me insane. The contact play, where they're basically saying, any contact, take off. I don't like it, but that's...
So, and this isn't directed toward you. It's directed toward people who say that. So we disregard every situation's the same.
Well,
we disregard that the shortstop is 8 feet from home plate and he's in the major leagues, and that McCutchen, who's not exactly a speedster these days, is running from third. We just mindlessly say, any contact, you go in extra innings, when we're still trying to tie the game, by the way. A lot of this is based on circumstance. If we've already tied it, we can take a chance. I still wouldn't do it, but okay. We're desperately trying to tie the game. We're just going to give away one of our three outs and maybe still lose on a play that has a 1% chance to succeed, if that. This is the major leagues. That ball's right at the shortstop. And I understand maybe right when it comes off the bat, you're thinking, I'm going no matter what. Well, that's stupid. I'm sorry. That's my opinion. You?
Yeah. I didn't like that. There are some things, though, Joe, that are sort of, we like to, you know, yell at Shelton about.
Yeah.
But.
Like not playing Joey Bart last night?
Right. But they're.
Even for an instant?
But Shelton, basically, they are, you know, like, all of these managers seem to be prisoners of certain analytics, certain, you know, ideas about how to generate runs and all the other stuff.
Yeah.
And I almost don't blame him. I think he just goes by the book.
For that particular play, maybe not. I don't blame him. No, it's just it's a by the book thing that just makes no sense.
Did you see they actually even messed it up and Reynolds got away with it? He did not immediately break for third. He hesitated.
That's right, Paul. And they even messed it up.
Right.
Can you imagine if he gets thrown out of third? And here's two things. A, a good throw, and he's out. B, McCutchen took a right turn before he ever got to the plate and therefore didn't even attempt to disrupt said throw.
Yeah, I think the catcher is just caught off guard that Reynolds broke as late as he did. I think if he was, you know, paying attention the whole time, Reynolds is dead meat at third.
And then big surprise, Connor Joe strikes out again. I don't know what to say about Connor Joe anymore. I don't know what to say. He comes up to the plate, makes outs every single time. He strikes out in the ninth every single time. He has four extra base hits since like the middle of June or something ridiculous. He's been hitting like a pitcher for 3 months and nobody ever talks about it and nobody ever notices. And he always comes to the plate and makes an out like he did last night. He struck out twice, by the way, on that at bat. And then another big surprise, Grandal, he's allowed to hit, and he grounds out to the shortstop. And at some point before that, Key Brian Hayes, who miraculously was intentionally walked, what are the Padres doing? He grounded out to the pitcher and somewhere else. Paul, I have never in 50 years of watching the Pirates, and I was a Pirate fan as a kid in Buffalo. We did not have a team. I have never, ever, ever seen a Pirate batter top the ball more than Key Brian Hayes.
Yes, you that's the thing about him, like I said before with him, that drives me crazy about Key Brian Hayes, Joe. It's that he can't hit. Like he never seems to get hits. He seems to be an automatic out, but when he does, it's just basically a little dribbler. Oh, you know what I mean? Kind of a single. You know what I mean?
I want to cry. Right now, I want to cry. It's just this little weak dribbler. It feels like 70, if he's not striking out, 70% of the time. And then what else? Bald Holderman is as bad as Harry Holderman. Am I right about that, Sean?
I have no idea who Harry Holderman is.
It's Colin with hair. But last night we saw Colin without hair. And he was just as bad. I mean, this is an epic disaster.
Right.
It's not like one guy has cost them their season, except that it's kind of like one guy has cost them their season. What is he doing? What is Shelton doing at this point? Every time he comes into a game, it's a critical, heart-rending moment in the game. And every time he loses, at some point, do you want to say maybe he needs to go somewhere for a while and work on this? I don't know. I don't know what to do. But I know he loses every single game. That's a problem.
Well, I mean, again, Shelton comes from the school of, he's our guy in that role, and he's done it really well all season long. And you know what? We're going to continue to have faith in him. I mean, I remember I asked Derek Shelton about this the other day when we had him on for his show, and he basically said, well, no, his role doesn't change. We just got to figure out what's going on with him. So it doesn't surprise me that he went to him. But, Joe, I almost don't blame – the problem with Holderman getting the blame is that it absolves in some ways the fact that your closer had the ball in his hands.
I'm with you on that.
Because Holderman would never have gotten into the game. If you closed the game.
I know.
You know what I mean?
He walks a tightrope every single time.
Right.
He's not having a good year. He blew three of his first four saves, and he's been dancing through the raindrops. He was really good right after that, but since he came back the most recent time, he's just lucky, it feels like, when he gets a save, Bednar. It just feels like luck.
Well, and I think, but again, you're right. Here's the other thing. He has this, he's had 19 save opportunities in a row, but a number of them, it was because they were leading by multiple runs and the other team scored only one. You know what I mean? Like, if you look at his last six appearances, four of them, he's given up a run.
Exactly.
And he hasn't had a clean inning. He's had one clean inning in his last six appearances. He's had three games in a row now where he's given up a run. I mean, at some point, this is what always cracks me up, Joe. I use the term, Bednar is leaking a little bit. And, of course, people who just exist on social media to argue – jumped down my throat and said, he had 19 save opportunities in a row. He converted. I said, listen, do you understand what leaking means? Yes, he's danced through the raindrops to get some saves recently, but look, his last six appearances, he's given up a run four times, which is bad for a closer.
It always feels like it's going to end badly.
Yes.
And you're right. He comes into games and just gives up tons of hits and runs. The last 2 months, he's had seven innings, seven hits, four runs. It's been awful. Five walks. Since the beginning of July, or he came back July 12th, seven innings, seven hits, five walks, and four earned runs. So if you're so small-minded as to only look, did he convert the save or not? A lot of people could have in those situations, pitching like that. He looked like himself for the latter part of May and all of June. That was David Bednar, pretty much all of June. But man, in the end, this bullpen has killed them. Let's go to the lines. It's your turn to emote, should you choose to take that option. It's also 11:21. Time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Insurance premiums, contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia, see what they can do for you. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And X, Fan X, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Who do we got, Sean?
We have Joe in Mount Lebanon.
What's up, Joe?
I agree Shelty's made some mistakes, but you know they're playing so shorthanded. The bullpen's 26th in MLB and ERA. To Paul's point, I said the same thing last night when they brought Bednar in. You know, his third game in a row, he's giving up runs. They're playing with three hitters almost every day in the lineup that are hitting less than 200. Their DH is hitting 230, even though McCutchen had a good game last night. The first baseman was non-existent for the first 2 months. He still only has 9 home runs, your power hitter. Your other cornerstone or a corner fielder, Hayes. He's averaging one extra base hit over the last 4 months. I mean, they're lucky they are what they are. They have very good starting pitching. The bullpen was supposed to be a strength. It turned out to be a weakness. Shelty's lucky to have this team where they are. And I know he, you know, had come for a lot of criticism the last few weeks, and I disagreed with at least a half dozen of his decisions the last few weeks. But overall, I think he's done a pretty good job with what he's working with. I mean, this team is not anywhere near a playoff caliber team roster-wise. If you take another team and they said, what players do you want off the Pirates? They'd take three, maybe even Falter, four pitchers. They'd take Reynolds. And I don't even know if they'd want Cruz. They may take Bart, depending on their catching needs. And that's all the Pirates have. They have on a 25
Well, Key Brian roster, Hayes has killed the team. Let's be honest about that, too.
Players.
Yeah.
They have six major league players other teams would want on a roster of 26
Six?
Players. It's ridiculous.
Six?
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate
Six?
The call.
I mean, again, now we just, this is like, let's go way overboard and just say stupid things. Six guys on this team are major league players that other teams would want. Teams wouldn't want O'Neill Cruz.
Said, is he including pitchers?
Yes.
Well, then yes.
That's my point. Well, he said the four pitchers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know if anyone would want O'Neill Cruz. Yes, because no team would want a guy that hits the ball 5 miles and runs like a deer.
Well,
wait. No team would want him. No team would want Reynolds, right?
Who's he did say Reynolds.
Okay, Reynolds.
He said Reynolds.
Cruz. Guess what? I got news for you. There are teams that would want Ke'Bryan Hayes just for his defense alone.
Can have him.
But my point is,
I'll drive him to the airport.
My point is, you know, Kiner Falefa. Teams wouldn't want him. Despite the fact he strikes out all the time.
I know, but Joe from Mount Lebanon is hurt. We're providing people an opportunity to unleash their feelings.
But we don't have now we're going way overboard. Now we're back. Listen, a month ago, nobody was talking about how, well, Shelton just doesn't have what it takes. You know, he doesn't have enough players to win games. He's shorthanded. You can't have it both ways. When they were four games over 500, we were talking about how, you know what I mean? This guy probably was calling in and wanted to put half of these guys in the Hall of Fame. My point is, Chapman, do you think maybe teams would want a guy that throws 105?
Teams would even want Holderman, believe
it
or
Holderman. not. I mean, there's a good nucleus of players here. The problem is there's a few guys that are bad.
Well, there's a lot of guys in the lineup who would not be in other major league lineups right now.
Well, Bay and Triolo, definitely not.
Bay, Triolo, Grandal, probably Rowdy, Michael A.
Rowdy
Taylor.
Would be in teams. Why wouldn't he be?
I mean, he's been good for a couple months. I've defended Rowdy, but when I look at first, I don't want to get bogged down in this. It's an exorcism. Next, who's next?
Nick in Washington, Pennsylvania.
What's up, Nick?
I'm going to take a different route, and I want to give Shelton a lot more of the blame, and I'm just going to give you four or five things that I thought of for the last 2 weeks. Number one, I don't care if it's his metrics to say Holderman should be out there. Holderman needs to go get drunk on a beach for about a week. Bednar, if he throws 97 middle, it's going to go out. He's not healthy, and even if he is healthy, he can't pinpoint his pitches. He doesn't throw hard enough to be effective unless he knows exactly where his off-speed pitches are going to go. Next, how the hell does Joey Bart not hit in the ninth inning or the tenth inning?
I heard Zangrilli say it's like a basketball coach leaving a game with a timeout in his pocket. I'm echoing. Go ahead.
Then my whole thing was we would have been better off not swinging the bat in the tenth. They let us in the game.
My God, you're right. Paul, he's right.
He's right.
It's like last year's Steelers game. They beat the Browns at home last year, and I swear this is true. If they kneel on the ball, the Browns win that game if they kneel on the ball the whole second half. They win that game in Pittsburgh last year. It's like that. You might be right. If none of the Pirates after McCutchen swung the bat in the 10th, they might win the game, Paul.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing about it is that the worst part about this loss, the Padres gave them how many bases?
Oh, they
because
stunk.
They couldn't, and their catcher couldn't catch. Their catcher couldn't catch, and all that other stuff, right?
Give us one more thing. Is he still there?
No, there was too much echo.
Was a lot of echo. All right, give me the next person. One more before we get to DeFaba.
Ryan in Gibsonia.
What's up, Ryan?
Hey, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Good. Did you hear the call earlier with, what was the guy's name?
Tony.
Oh, Tony the Jackass.
Yeah, Jackass Tony. Did you like that?
I enjoyed it. It was a good time.
Are you in a wind tunnel?
No, so I'm a mailman. I'm outside right now.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
So I'm past frustrated and angry. I'm sad and depressed. And I just appreciate you guys doing your due diligence of being a therapy session.
Paul, this man has evolved. Most of us act out in anger to cover up our sadness. He's just sad and depressed and willing to admit it. A lot of people want to be mail carriers. Is it all it's cracked up to be? Paul, when I was a kid and people asked me what I wanted to do, I said I wanted to be a mailman in Hawaii. It seems like a great job. Is it?
That'd be the place to do it. I mean, being in Pittsburgh with the hills, it's all right. I mean, the only thing that's nice is I get to eat as much candy as I want.
Mm. Paul, would you like to be a mailman? Ever thought of it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm sure it's a good job and you got good benefits, right?
Good benefits?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Great retirement, right? Great retirement, everything. It's a good job.
Yeah. 35 and then I'll be done.
What age?
I'm only 27 right now.
What age can you get a retirement?
Oh, I mean, I think it's after 15, but I'll probably work until I'm probably 55, 60.
All right.
Well, we appreciate what you do, and thank you for the call, and thank you for being evolved as you are.
Appreciate you taking my time.
Do you know who was a mailman in a different life?
Who?
Gormy the Owl.
What?
Yes. Gourmet the Owl was a mailman.
Where? In Memphis?
Here.
When he was there?
Here.
Yes. In Baldwin?
I guess in Baldwin, yes.
He was your friendly neighborhood mailman, was Gourmet the Owl?
Yes, he was. After he got out of college.
Sean, were you aware of this?
I had no idea.
Yes. Do you know Gourmet the Owl?
I do.
You probably done high school games with him.
Yep. After he got done in college, and you know, he was trying to, you know, look for a job and trying to get into the business. He was a mailman. He absolutely was.
Paul's been a cab driver.
Yes.
I've been a bagel cook. What's something that you've done that people might be surprised by?
My favorite job, other than this, of course, is I worked at a bowling alley. I was a pin chaser.
I can't. Can you picture that, Paul? Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers as a pin chaser.
Isn't there like a little area above the pins?
Yeah, so you would get pin jams.
You sit up there basically there?
Yeah, but I didn't. Sometimes people would go back there for like 4 hours straight. I would get bored. I'd always want to be out around the bowlers and stuff like that.
You ever get hit with a ball?
No, that's usually not too common of an occurrence.
So basically you're back there fixing when the pins get clogged up, you stand them upright?
So you just have to, usually there's a pin that's blocking the other ones from where they're supposed to go. So you have to pull that out. Sometimes you have to, you know, wind the thing down and then move it. But sometimes it's as simple as a pin just getting in the gutter that you have to go down and pull that out. So it was an enjoyable job. We also had a mini golf course, so I get to go out there, make sure everything's working sufficiently out there. So it was a good time.
Who would have thunk it, huh, Paul?
Wow.
I got to bowl for 25 cents per game back then.
Wow.
Yes.
They made you pay even though you worked there?
So I think it was, if I came down like when I wasn't working, it was 25 cents per game. If I did it like after a shift, I was already there, I got to bowl for free.
Okay. Well, that's nice.
Beautiful. All right. Coming up, Mike DeFabo. I imagine from, is there Steeler camp today? Are they practicing? They have a game tomorrow.
He's at Steelers
camp. They had a very small workout this
morning. All right.
And then I think that, you know, it's done, you know.
Let's move away from Ayuk for a little while and just talk about this game tomorrow and some of the storylines with Mr. Mike DeFabo coming up next. The Fan, 100.1 FM, AM 1020 KDKA, and WAMO 107.3 partner to support Pittsburgh public school students for the school year by providing stuffed backpacks for the hashtag Pittsburgh for PPS Backpack Drive, presented by Frank Walker Law. Visit the link on the homepage, 937thefan.com, support as an individual or a group. Help ensure a good start to the school year for local kids, brought to you by MediConnect. Mike DeFabo, next. Minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Ram, Dodge Jeep Ram, I should say. Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. The hotline, which Mike DeFabo is on, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Mike writes for The Athletic. Are you at training camp, Dr. DeFabo?
I am. I'm back in Latrobe, back to my roots as a good old Latrobe boy myself.
I forgot about that. You are a Latrobe boy. Your take on the Brandon Ayuk drama, does he wind up here or no?
Well, I mean, it seems like if you sift through all these reports, basically the 49ers are trying to win in this window, and so therefore they would preferably like a wide receiver back in addition to other position players or roster players. The Steelers, on the other hand, it seems like they're interested in trying to just only give up draft picks. And so that's where I think that probably the situation, the way that I can figure it out in my own head, is either the 49ers cave and they say, look, this has gone on too long. Brandon Ayuk is frustrated. He doesn't want to be there. He wants to be on your team. We'll just accept the draft picks and punt on this and then either try to flip those into roster players or just move on. Or the Steelers up their ante in some way to get this deal done. You know, we'll have to wait and see, but that's, I guess, the way that I read the situation.
Does it get done?
I don't know, Paul. I think it's 50-50 maybe, if I were to guess. You know, you listen to the national insiders and they say that they think that eventually their guess would be that he ends up in Pittsburgh. So I feel like they're probably more dialed in. But I feel like a lot of the information is coming out of San Francisco, and we have We have a writer in San Francisco who's dialed in there, and they've said that they want a wide receiver. They're trying to win right now. And if you lose a guy like Brandon Ayuk, replacing that production is going to be very difficult. So, you know, I think maybe what it'll come down to is, can they find a third team that they can flip the picks they get from the Steelers, get a wide receiver to backfill Brandon Ayuk's void there? You know, that might be what gets it done.
Okay. Well, I mean, if that happens, I guess we have to wait a little bit longer. Adam Schefter said yesterday it seemed like it's not going to happen, imminently. So it's probably going to take some time. In the meantime, who is the second receiver on this team?
Yeah, I mean, in the meantime, Van Jefferson has stepped up and been that guy. I mean, we've had a lot of questions about who would be the guy behind George Pickens, because really you look at the depth chart and it kind of looks like George Pickens and then everybody else. And I had my skepticism about Van Jefferson. You look back at his stats last year, he was with Arthur Smith, and in 12 games together, Van Jefferson caught a whopping 12 passes. So, you know, he's out here working hard and catching 300 passes a day off the jugs machine. And, I mean, he does have one good season on his resume. His second season in 2021, he had 50 catches, 800-something yards, and six touchdowns. If he can do that in the Steelers offense, that would be pretty exciting for them. You know, I think he brings a veteran savvy. He ran a 4.39 40-yard dash back in college. You know, so he has some tangible skills to him. And when you talk to him, he seems like a mature, polished veteran. You know, my bigger concern, you know, we always talk about who's the number two wide receiver. What happens if George Pickens gets injured? And I think that that's the worst-case scenario for the Steelers. This is a thin receiver room. Maybe you can get by using the tight ends a lot and, you know, featuring George. But if he goes down, then I think you're in a situation where you really don't have any dynamic threats in the passing game. And I think that you're really hamstringing yourself as an offense there.
Mike DeFabo of The Athletic. Here's a story that I'm really enamored with right now. I really am. I think it was Brian Batko, the Batconian mongoose, who talked to this fullback, Jack Coletto, who said, I'm putting my hand in the damn ground. If they want me to be a human battering ram, so be it. I can do that. I've never met this guy. I don't know what he looks like, and yet I love him. Is he going to be on the team? Are they going to use a fullback and have you talk to this man?
Yeah, he's a legend of the game for that quote. I love that. Well, you have to look back at what Arthur Smith has done historically. And we've talked a lot about the tight end usage, but the other part of it is he is one of the guys that still uses a fullback. Last season in Atlanta, the Falcons used a fullback 30% of the time. And the way that Arthur Smith explained it to us, there's a guy, Keith Smith, was their fullback, and they were able to keep him on the roster because he was able to contribute on special teams. And he was like, you know, they're one of those core special teams guys that you count on in all four special teams phases. So the way that I read the situation is, if Jack Coletto finds a way to contribute on special teams and can add value there, then maybe they can have a roster spot for him. The tough thing is you have to figure they're going to keep, you know, four tight ends. They're probably going to keep a couple backs plus Cordarrelle Patterson. So, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson kind of eats up a spot. And so, you know, I think the question becomes, can Jack Coletto contribute enough on special teams, or do they feel the Connor Hayward is good enough in that role as a fullback? And if you look at the first depth chart they put out, Connor Hayward was. So they're different body types. Jack Coletto is more of that battering ram. He is a bigger, more physical, more traditional type of fullback. And so, you know, I think I really feel like that's going to be one of the more intriguing questions on the back half of the roster when it comes to the final cutdown.
What do you expect to see in terms of the offensive skill position players tomorrow night?
Yeah, Roman Wilson is still dealing with an ankle injury, so I think that he's going to be out. And Mike Tomlin said that the first unit would get a couple series. So, you know, when the Steelers are in two wide receiver formations, the top two guys have been throughout camp pretty much, George Pickens and Van Jefferson. And then Calvin Austin would be the third guy kind of competing for playing time with Van Jefferson. So, you know, I imagine that they're going to pull out George Pickens is probably not going to be playing a ton there. And so, like, I think that a guy like Calvin Austin or like Van Jefferson has as much to gain as anybody during these preseason games, as they're trying to prove that they should be that number two guy and that maybe the Steelers don't need to go out and get another wide receiver.
Mike, the Justin Fields story has been fascinating to follow. And, I mean, Tomlin and Arthur Smith have just been over the top in praising this guy. He's gotten an unexpected opportunity and maybe with some, you know, a couple rough patches has taken major advantage of it. So here's my question. Is there any chance, give me a percent chance that this guy would actually unseat Russell Wilson in the preseason? And failing that, has he at least caused Tomlin and Smith, especially Tomlin, to move up the timeline for when he might replace Wilson if Wilson hits a rough patch?
Yeah, I mean, I still find it very unlikely that Justin Fields is able to supplant Russell Wilson in the preseason. And I feel like, especially, you look at this dynamic where they say it's a competition. Yesterday, I asked Mike Tomlin if he still would classify this as a competition. He said it very much is. Well, if it is a competition and one of those guys has missed basically a week and a half of practice and has been a limited participant in pretty much the entire camp, yet he's still your starter, then how much of a competition is this, or how far ahead is the lead for Russell Wilson? And so, you know, I feel like the injury, while it's opened the door and given Justin Fields a chance, a lot of people are talking about the reps he's getting, to me, it's illuminated just how far of a lead Russell Wilson must have. That, like, if you had two guys coming in, if I was trying to decide between Joe Starkey or Paul Zeiss to host this show, and Paul is, you know, at the casino for a week and a half and doesn't show up, and then he's still in pole position.
Not that would ever happen.
What would that tell you about your standing, Joe? And so that's I think, the way that I read the situation. Now, what I will say is, I think Justin Fields has done a good job of capitalizing on these reps and these opportunities. And so in the event that they feel that Russ is stumbling or not, you know, adding the spark that they're looking for to the offense, I think that they would be more confident to turn to Justin, as you're alluding to. And so, you know, I think very unlikely that Justin Fields is able to win this out of camp, but I think there is a possibility at some point during the season that we do see him starting football games.
I do think that it's interesting. If you listen to and read some of the reports coming out of St. Vincent, the Justin Fields, it's very clear to me that his wow factor is high in terms of the plays that he's made. But has he shown a consistency enough to suggest that he's legitimately going to be in a competition or whatever you want to call it for the actual starting job in a month?
Yeah, I mean, the way that I would describe what I've seen from Justin Fields is there are moments where you look at him and you say, okay, yeah, that's why he was the 11th overall pick. He keeps the ball in a read option, takes off, and he looks like the most dangerous guy on the field. Or he uncorks a deep ball, and you're like, yeah, that's legitimate NFL-caliber arm talent. But there's also times during practice where he's showing some inconsistencies, and you're saying, oh, now I understand why the Steelers were able to get him for a fourth-round pick. And I know that one thing that quarterbacks coach Tom Arth, who I had the chance to talk to yesterday, has been working extensively with Justin on is his footwork. And it all starts with a solid base in the pocket. And when you have that, then that helps you throw with accuracy and with anticipation. And I do see progress in what Justin has done. I look specifically at, like, the 7 shots drill. It was rough during a lot of OTAs and mandatory minicamp. And then he came here, and he's been improving. He's been making quicker decisions. He's been processing it more quickly, going through his reads. So to me, that shows a quarterback who has better understanding of the offense, understands what Arthur Smith and Tom Arth and the rest of the Steelers staff are looking for out of him. And he has, for the most part, protected the ball. You know, he's tossed a handful of interceptions, but everyone's going to throw a couple camp interceptions. So, you know, I think that he is improving, and I think that he is getting better. And I was disappointed to hear Mike Tomlin say that the starters, including Justin Fields, were only going to get a couple series, because I can't understand that. You have a guy who's not under contract next season. There's no guarantee you have Justin Fields beyond this year. So your entire thought process in the preseason should be, number one, develop him. Number two, get a really good look at him and evaluate him and determine if he could be part of your future. So why not play this guy an entire quarter? Why not play this guy an entire half? Get him the reps. Get him the opportunities when it doesn't matter if he's throwing interceptions or making mistakes. And instead, they're going to just play him a couple of series. And I feel like it's going to be similar to what happened with Kenny last year, where he went out with five series and everyone's talking about how he was ready to take this big year two leap. And then he fizzles in the regular season. I wonder what would have happened had the Steelers actually played and developed Kenny through the preseason. And I feel like they're doing Justin Fields a disservice by not giving him more of a chance in the preseason to show what he can do.
Did we already know there was a Larry Fitzgerald bobblehead for Pitt this year? Anybody, Mike, Sean, Paul, did anybody already know that?
No, I think you're like the bobblehead breaking news guy, I guess.
Yeah, it
you're
is bobble.
You're the chapter of bobbleheads.
It is bobblehead breaking news that Thursday, October 24th against Syracuse is Larry Fitzgerald bobblehead day.
Is that 99.99%?
Oh, I like that from Sean Don't Call Me Seth Meyers. Mike, let's not bury the lead here. The last time you and I did a show, which was many moons ago, I introduced the term bidet to you. Paul, do you know what a bidet is?
Isn't it an outfielder for the A's?
No, that's a different guy.
Oh.
Mike didn't know at the time either, but since then...
No, I did know. I did know.
Oh, you did. Well, would you like to explain to people what it is and how you have come across one, encountered one, I believe, on your honeymoon? Paul, it's basically a substitute for toilet paper.
Oh, the thing that like shoots in your rear, shoots water in your rear?
Basically what it is in Europe, they don't have great plumbing. So instead of, and I guess in addition to toilet paper, you are encouraged to sit on like, basically it looks like a little toilet off to the side, and it's like a sink for your butt, I guess is the best way that I would describe it. And I went to Italy on my honeymoon, and, you know, sure enough, everywhere we went pretty much, there were bidets. Now, I will admit on radio and on the record that I did use it. The problem I had with it was then you get up and your butt's all wet, and then what do you do? And so
they don't provide a bidet towel, and also how does it work? Do you set out and press a button and it fires away?
You kind of like turn the knob, and it, very much like a sink, and it's targeted right at your butt, sprays it. I don't think it's for me, Joe. I'm going to be honest.
Paul, would you like this? Do you think this is a good invention?
There's no chance I would ever use one of those things. I mean, I, without getting into the logistics of it all, how do you, like, dry off afterwards?
I think that's Mike's point.
That was my biggest problem with it. And I don't know if that was user error on my part. I don't know if, like, there's even, like, a little soap dish next to it and everything. It's a wild experience.
Well, thank you for sharing, Mike. We appreciate that. Three players other than Fields to keep a close eye on tomorrow night. Who are they for you?
Oh, man, we're pivoting right from bidet talk right back into football.
Yes, we seamlessly. Are.
Okay, three guys to keep an eye on. I like Beanie Bishop because he has impressed in camp. He's the guy from WVU, All-American there. Led the college football in pass breakups and passes defended. And he has a chance to start as an undrafted rookie. But Graylin Arnold has also performed well in nickel. And Mike Tomlin, when we asked about Beanie being the starter, mentioned the fact that Graylin's been injured. So I'm curious how that dynamic unfolds. I would watch Dante Jackson. You know, he's the new corner. And I think that he's been pretty solid through camp, but I want to see, does that translate into these preseason games? And then let me think of a third for you. Why not Justin Fields? I mean, Justin Fields probably has the most to gain through these preseason games. And if he's going to make the Steelers staff seriously think about moving him up the depth chart and supplanting Russell Wilson, he's going to need to light the world on fire in the preseason. So he's going to need to go out with a huge performance tomorrow. And I think he absolutely is a guy to watch throughout the preseason.
Okay. Well, I think that when you watch preseason games, it's very hard for me to determine what you're actually seeing.
Right.
Just because you really don't know fully, especially after about the first two or three series, you don't know fully seriously what the other team is doing in terms of playing their starters and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like before I started covering the team, my move was like, let's just tune in for the first quarter. And then after that, kind of catch up with the highlights later on. the Texans did say that they're going to play their starters, and we know that they have a pretty dynamic offense, and that's why I'm interested in watching the defensive side of the ball. And historically, Mike Tomlin does like to play defensive guys a little bit more. Now, I know he's holding out the stars like T.J. Watt, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Alex Highsmith, etc. But, you know, some of those other guys down the line, like this will be your first chance to see you know, Patrick Queen, I think, will be out there, I believe. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, it is a preseason game. I don't know. We're kind of dressing it up, but Like my sister's getting married this weekend, and a bunch of the people came in from England, and so the Brits are all going to go to the preseason game, and I guess they were able to find tickets for like $10, and so they have a very distorted sense of what Steelers football is all about. I've encouraged them just to go to the tailgate and maybe not even go into the game.
Yeah, I like.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.